I want y'all to know, church is supposed to impact people's lives. This is what we're called to do. We're called to be salt and light. And I'm glad that we get the opportunity to be able to do that. And so, but with that being said, I'm excited to get into God's word today. And I'm going to let y'all know, I've been waiting for like a month to get to this message today. So I'm going to let y'all know, we're going to turn up the heat a little bit today. And I gave y'all a warning last week. It's going to be good. It's going to be righteous, but we're going to keep it real at the same time. Amen. And so we've been continuing our series, Assembly Required Relationship Series. And if you're watching online, I want to encourage you to share it with somebody. If you're in here, I want you to text somebody like, hey, you need to tune in to church right now. Because today is going to help us in a great way. So I'm going to ask us just to stand just for the reading of God's word. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24. And if we could bring my microphone down just a tad bit, that would be really good. Thank you all so much, production team, for all you all do. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. And we're going to look at verses 20 through 24, just a little bit back up, just a tad bit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, and here is what the Apostle Paul says. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way, I say former way, your former way of life, the old self, I say old, that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness and righteousness and purity of the truth. Verse 22 says, take off your former way of life, the old self. Verse 24 says, and to put on the new self. So today, I'm going to let y'all know we're going all the way up. So I want to preach from this theme and thought today as we continue our Assembly Required series. I'm calling today's sermon, Yesterday's Price is Not Today's Price. Tell the person beside you, yesterday's price is not today's price. If you want to get real gangster with them, if I'm like talking to somebody at the store, yesterday's price ain't today's price. My price not gone up, fam. You're supposed to say that too. Listen, we're going to lean into it. I hope y'all ready. Because I've been praying all week. I said, Lord, he may not give me a lot of amens this week, but it's okay. I'm approved in Jesus' name. But I believe God has something for us. Father, we thank you for all you're going to do. God, would you speak to us in a real way, in an impactful way, in a practical way. I pray, God, for wherever we are in season, that this word will land on fresh soil in Jesus' name. Every person said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Yesterday's price is not today's price. I wanted to lean into this sermon today because one of the things that we look at when it comes to relationships that I believe that we need some direction on and some guidance on is in the area of dating. We're going to talk about it today because I think for so long in culture has really dominated the conversation when it's come to dating. We see it everywhere. We see reality TV shows that have a lot to do with dating. I recently discovered one show when I was having a conversation with Ariel. We were talking about the sermon, and she was like, you got to mention the show known as The 90 Day Fiancé. And I was like, what is that? Never heard of it. The premise of this show ultimately is that you got 90 days to find your boo. 90 days. Another show by the name of Married at First Sight. Never heard of it. Until she told me about it. And I found something that was interesting about Married at First Sight, and they say this, that only 11 couples married out of the 64 couples that were matched. Which means this, they only had a 17% success rate when it came to their marriage. When it came to people being married. But it all started with dating. That's what I want to lean into today as we kind of talk about this Assembly Required series as we're leaning into having an understanding of how we build relationships. God's way. I believe that one area where we really need some direction and we need some guidance in is when it comes to knowing how to date. Now, even if you're married in here, I want you to know that this message still applies to you because some of the principles that we're going to talk about are transferable no matter what season of life you may find yourself in. But I found a statistic about dating, according to the Pew Research Center, it was on Forbes.com, and they did some research and they discovered that 47% of people say that dating now is harder than what it was 10 years ago. 47% of people say it's hard to date now compared to what it is 10 years ago. Some of y'all in here could agree with that and would agree with that. Pastor, it is so hard to try to find somebody who is credible. It is hard right now to find somebody who is legitimate. And I believe that there's many factors that may kind of contribute to people being able to find the right person and be in a relationship with the right person. But I think also what contributes to it being difficult is not having a good blueprint and rubric as to how to go about dating. I think sometimes even in the body of Christ, we don't really help a lot when it comes to having a biblical understanding in dating, and even, and I'll talk more about this in a moment, when it comes to sexual intimacy. And we're going to go there today. I'm going to let y'all know. We're going to keep it real, but we're going to keep it righteous at the same time. And when I look at the words of the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians chapter 4, one of the things that's very interesting here is the Apostle Paul is writing to believers who were accustomed to doing things like the culture around them. Very similar to what I mentioned last week when we were talking about the single life and how the Apostle Paul was writing these letters to believers in this city called Corinth. Corinth was a very crazy culture. There was all types of things that happened in Corinth. There was all type of dysfunction that was happening in Corinth. And one of the things that was taking place is that even though these believers were in a new place and a new way of life, they found themselves still succumbing to the cultural norms of their day and of their time. And one of the things that I think is very interesting is when we look here in the book of Ephesus, the believers in Ephesus are dealing with the same exact thing. That they've stepped into a new reality of who Jesus is, but at the same time, they're still kind of doing some old things. Y'all know how we start the new year and say, new year, new me. But by the time February comes around, it's a new year, but the same you. We're doing the same things that we did 6 months ago. We've resorted back to some old practices and some old perspectives. And when I think about that, I think about everything that Paul is saying here, because I believe that we too are accustomed to living a certain way. And one of the things that the believers were wrestling with is how we do relationships. So when you look at the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and even in chapter 5, Paul begins to talk about how marriage should look. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week. Then he talks about how parenting should look. He talks about how relationships in the home should look and relationships in the body of Christ and the local church should look. And the reason why he's lifting this up is because the believers were accustomed to doing things one way. And that one way, if we're really being honest, was not working. And when we look at our day and time, I believe similarly, we too have found ourselves being accustomed to living like the world and the culture around us and being pulled in the wrong direction, specifically in the areas of relationships, or today, specifically in the area of dating. In other words, let me say it plainly like this, that we date just like culture dates. We do just like culture does. We choose people just like culture chooses people. Our rubric is similar to culture. But Paul says something interesting around verse 20 in Ephesians chapter 4. He says this, but that is not how you came to know Christ. And then when you jump down to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8, he says this, you were once darkness, but now, I'll say but now, but now you are light in the Lord. I love this because Paul says, you were once in a dark place. What do he mean by that? Prior to you coming to know Jesus, you were dead in your sin, meaning that you were separated from God. You had no relationship with God. You were living life in darkness. You were living life beneath the standard and beneath the worth in which God had actually created you to live in. Relationships were a certain way. You were far from God. Sin was rampant in your life. You didn't know any better. But he says, but then Jesus stepped in your life, and though you used to be in darkness, when Jesus stepped in, now you are living as a child of light. Now you have gone from having darkness to dominate your life to now having light to light up your life. And I believe that that's good news right there if we were just to pause parenthetically and look at that moment, because many of you are in here today and you've walked down some dark paths and you've walked down some dark valleys and you've been in a dark place. You were something through life trying to figure out your way, how to do this and how to make this decision, and you had no clarity and you were walking around with shame and insecurity. But then maybe your testimony someone is. But when Jesus stepped in, that's when fulfillment came, and that's when joy came, and that's when clarity came, and that's when healing came, and that's when forgiveness came. Thank God that Jesus loves us so much that he's willing to not leave us in the dark, but he's willing to get in the darkness with us to bring light to the dark situation. And I just want to know at the 11 o'clock service, if we could take 5 seconds right there and give God praise for the fact that we got a God who does not leave us in the dark, but we got a God who says, I will meet you in the midst of the dark valley and guide you into a place of light. He says, you were once in darkness, but now you are light. And here's what Paul says. You ready for it? He says, walk as children of the light. Here's what Paul is plainly saying. You used to be one way. Now that you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Live like it. You used to, can we apply it? You used to date people one way. But now, you're new in Christ. You should date differently. You used to treat people one kind of way prior to you knowing Jesus. But now that you're in Jesus, it should change how you treat people. Let me say it like this. Paul will say this in other accounts and other letters to the churches. You are living a low life and a worthless life apart from Christ. But now that you are in Christ, you have new life and you have new value. Paul would actually even say this about himself. He says, anything that was considered valuable to me in comparison to Christ is trash. It's worthless. Matter of fact, he says, it's dung. The Greek word is scubula, crap, manure. Paul's saying, all them things that I put worth in, that I put value in, that I put stock in prior to knowing Christ, now that I know Jesus, all those things are worthless now. Because Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to my life. Jesus is the best thing that's ever stepped into my life. I used to be one way, but now that I'm in Christ, I'm better. And so he says this in verse 22, if you go back to Ephesians 4. So he says, now therefore, take off your former way of life. This is imagery of clothing and garments of clothes. It's as if Paul is saying, you've outgrown that. Why are you still trying to fit in it? Have you ever tried to put a shirt on that you outgrew? And when I say outgrew, I use that loosely. You know, it could be you've grown in different ways and it don't fit anymore, for better or worse. It fit in one season. But it don't fit in this season. Paul says, that's how it is now that you're in Christ. It used to fit you. Take it off. It's not for you no more. And not only does he say, take off the old, now he says, put on the new. That's complementary to who you are now in Christ. Here's what Paul, I think, would say if he was preaching the sermon today. Because yesterday's price is not today's price. Your value is different now. Why? Because since Jesus put his name on you by faith in him, your value has skyrocketed. You're different now. Do you know the difference between like high-priced clothing items and all that versus maybe like store brand? Do you know the biggest difference? It's the name that's on it. If this Jordan sign was off of this shoe wouldn't cost what it cost to buy this shoe. But because you got this little man right here jumping in the air with a ball in his hand, the value of the shoe has gone up. I'm not saying that to try to flex or flaunt. What I'm trying to help you understand is that when Jesus put his name on you, your value was completely different than what it used to be. You are no longer who you used to be. You got worth like you've never had before. Your value is different now. So what God is saying today is stop living beneath your value. Stop being beneath your value. Stop talking beneath your value. You're worth more than that. In the words of T'Challa's mom in Black Panther, tell them who you are. You need to begin to declare who you are in Christ. I am King T'Challa. son of King. I am a child of God. I am a royal priesthood in Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I am not who I used to be. I am a new person because of who I am in Christ. And because of who I am in Christ, things are different. Life is different. Relationships are different. Dating is different. Which means now when it comes to dating, y'all, we got a high standard, not a low standard. Our standard isn't the floor. It's the ceiling and beyond. We got a different standard. Not a cultural standard, a biblical standard. Not a worldly standard, a kingdom standard. And the reason why this is so important, I need you to write this down, is because when you don't have a standard, you'll always be on sale. Let me say it like this. When you don't have a standard, you'll settle for anything. In dating, if you don't have a standard, you'll settle for anybody. And God says, you are worth too much to settle for anybody. Your standard has changed. So I want to say this when it comes to dating. When it comes to dating, we do it the King's way now. We do it God's way. And I want you to write this down, because when it comes to dating, dating can be a season of delight done God's way, or a season of dysfunction when not. Dating God's way can be a great season of delight, but when we don't do it God's way, it will be a season of dysfunction. It will be a season of drama. It will be a reality TV show that you are living in. Because when I do it culture's way, I get culture's results. But when I do it the King's way, I get King's results. And I want us to understand here today, as we're talking about dating, I want you to know this, those of us who are single, I want you to know this. It's okay for you to be single and not to want to date. God doesn't give us this command. You need to be married to somebody. We learned last week how singleness is a gift. We also learned last week how some people in the scriptures never got married. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was never married. He walked 33 years and never had a wife. The Apostle Paul, the one who is writing this letter that we're reading in Ephesians chapter 4, he was not married. There's other prophets and men and women of God all throughout the scripture lived significant lives and were not married. So I don't want you to hear this message and saying that because I'm single, I need to find somebody, or because I'm single, I need to date. No, that's not true. If you're single or if you're married, the most important thing for you to do is to be tapped into Jesus. That's the most important relationship that you need above all. However, if you do decide to date, I want to give you some biblical principles. I'm going to be more coach today than I'm going to be pastor. Because I'm going to share some hard truths with some of us that people have wanted to tell you but never told you when it comes to dating. I'm going to help us. Because I believe that one of the ways that the enemy ruins lives is through the wrong relationships. And you don't need to be connected to somebody that God does not want you to be connected to. Let me help you understand something. Everybody is equal in God's sight, but not everybody adds equal value to your life. I'll say it again. Everybody's equal, loved by God, but not everybody adds equal value to you. And that's especially true to understand when it comes to the area of dating. So what principle should guide us when it comes to dating? When we look in the scriptures, I'm going to be honest with you, in the scripture, you don't see too much about dating. Why? Because the time in which the Bible was written, it was a different culture, it was a different time, it was a different context. So the way relationships were done a little bit differently, were a little bit differently than the way that things are done today, and even vice versa. So even though practices might be different when it came to entering a relationship with somebody, the principles are still the same. And what God wants us to do is to adopt principles in the season that we're in, in the time that we're in, when it comes to applying them to dating. So here's the first thing I want to give us. When it comes to dating, you and I need to date with a godly purpose. Everybody say purpose. What do I mean by purpose? What I mean by purpose is this, that we don't just date casually. We date intentionally. Can I let us know that the whole purpose of dating is this? Marriage. That's the whole purpose. I know what culture says. Culture says, oh, just date for fun. In the kingdom, we don't just date for fun. We might have fun while we're dating, but we don't date for fun. We date on purpose. We date for a purpose. We date with a purpose. Culture says, just be with anybody. God says, no, be with the right person. Date with purpose. And the reason why this is so important for us to understand is because if we don't have understanding of what this season of life is for, then what will happen is we'll start doing things in one season that's actually reserved for another season. So here's what the Bible said in Ecclesiastes 3:1. It says this, that there is an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven, which means this, every season has a purpose. And the purpose of the season of dating is not just so that I can hang out with somebody. It's not just so that I can just boo up with somebody on Valentine's Day. No, the purpose of me dating is that it would eventually lead to marriage. Because when God brings somebody together, he's not playing games. He's on purpose. Another person beside just for a purpose. Which means this. We don't date, I want you to write this down. We don't date for the purpose of recreation. We date for the purpose of preparation. We don't date for recreational purposes, for fun purposes, for casual purposes. No, we date for the purpose of preparation. It's meant to be a time where you discover if this person is truly who you should marry, if this person is who God wants you to be with as husband or as wife. God's purpose for marriage is to bring people together, a man and a woman together, in this perfect union and harmony, which means if I'm in relationship with somebody, one of the chief questions I need to begin to ask right now, somebody say right now, no, not right now, right now, is where is this relationship going? Where are we going? I don't know where we're going. Well, I'm not going with you there. Where are we going? I don't know. We're just having fun. Really? I don't have time to waste to have fun. I want to be on purpose. It changes everything. When it's purpose-led, and not pleasure-led, we do things differently. So now because it's for a purpose, come on, I don't have friends with benefits. Father God, it's rough today. I don't know if they're gonna get it. I don't just date casually. I don't just text somebody at 1 o'clock in the morning, hey, what you doing? You want company? Why y'all acting like this today? Y'all real tight on me today. Don't do this. It's for a purpose. It's for God's purpose. Watch this. And not only is it for a purpose, but part of being in purpose means that I'm also myself walking in purpose. The purpose that God has for my life. Can I let you know something? I don't know if you knew this in the Bible. Before God gave Adam a spouse, he gave him a job. Before he gave him a partner, he gave him a purpose. And many times, we're trying to find a partner when God said, you need to focus on your purpose right now. Because if you're more concerned with a partner than a purpose, then what's going to happen is you're going to think that the purpose of your relationship is to bring you fulfillment. And the purpose of your relationship is not to bring fulfillment. Only Jesus can do that. So before there was compatibility, there was responsibility. So I need to begin to ask the question, where's my life headed? Because if I don't know where I'm going, what sense does it make for me to connect with somebody who don't know where you're going? It's just a blind lead to mine. I need to have some direction. Where am I going? What are we doing? You've been dating for 10 years. Where are we going? I don't know anybody who's dating. So don't think I'm coming at you. If you're dating for 10 years, I don't even know what your situation is. That's the Spirit of God speaking to you. So don't shoot the messenger. Please don't. Don't shoot me. Where are we going? If y'all ain't been to Jared yet, and it's been 10 years, oh, he gave me a promise ring. What is that? Promise to what? Come on. What are we doing here? Tell the person, ask the person beside, what are we doing? What are we doing? has to be it has to be purpose-driven. And this is the thing that we don't like to think about, because in culture, it's always do what you feel. If they look good, get with them. Let me help you understand something. Everything that look good ain't God. We're not meant to be like animals and we just follow our instincts. No, we are spirit-led people. We're following Jesus Christ. We do things on purpose, for a purpose, with a purpose, not pleasure. And what happens now is when we're drinking the Kool-Aid of culture, we end up getting the sickness of culture too. God says, purpose, isn't it, to be the thing that leads. So for some of us in this season, it don't even, like, your focus don't need to be on being with somebody. Your focus needs to be on becoming the right somebody. Because what culture does, culture places emphasis on finding the right person. Scripture doesn't place emphasis on that. Scripture's main emphasis is not on finding the right person, it's on becoming the right person, because you attract who you are. So if I'm trying to figure out, why do ratchet people keep coming after me? If I'm trying to figure out why conniving people are attracted to me, maybe that means that my life is giving off some type of a scent. Come on. If I'm trying to figure out why do I keep getting the no good guys and the no good girl, if I keep why don't I attract the godly ones? Could it be that the scent that my life is giving off . Somebody say purpose. This is the thing that we don't like to talk about in culture. You're not going to get this in culture. So this is where heartbreaks come. Unnecessary heartbreaks. Unnecessary hangups. Unnecessary headaches. Because we led with pleasure. We didn't lead with purpose. So when we date, we don't just date any old way. We date with a godly purpose. Here's the second thing I want you to understand. That we not only date with a godly purpose, we also date with a godly pursuit. This is where it's going to get real. Because when it comes to us pursuing somebody and choosing somebody, the how you choose them to choose to pursue them is critically important, because it will determine the who you end up being with. So I gotta look at how I'm pursuing people. Can I help you understand? The first person that you and I should be pursuing is Jesus. So this is what Jesus says in Matthew 6:33. Seek first. But seek first. We got it for you. Let's put it up on the screen. But seek first the kingdom of God. Come on, can we put it up on the screen for everybody? But seek first. Everybody say first. First. Not last. Not second. Not middle of the other pack. First. The kingdom of God. In other words, the kingdom of God should be my number one priority that drives my life, even in the area of dating. That's what's meant to be. First. So I got to start with God first. I got to check my spirit temperature. Am I pursuing him first? It has to start with him. I have to love Jesus more than I love the idea of being with somebody else. Because if that's not the case, then if I end up being with somebody, I will end up giving the love that's actually reserved for Jesus to somebody else. That's called idolatry. So now what happens is we begin to put what I like to call messianic expectations on a relationship, and it was never meant to carry it in the first place. You're expecting them to do something that only Jesus could do. And then your heart's broke. But I thought you loved me. They did. The problem is they're not Jesus, though. So it's got to start first with Jesus. And when we pursue Jesus, now we have a foundation to build a relationship on. So now when I'm pursuing Jesus, when it comes to dating, can I give you this first thing when it comes to pursuing somebody? You need to be praying about, God, do you want me to even be dating somebody right now? Nobody likes to ask that question. God, do you want me to do this? And don't just take the dating, take it with anything. God, do you want me to take this job? Some of us are scared to pray that prayer because if he says no, it goes against our plans. So we say, God, have your way. But then we go to God, this is what I want, though. So you need to pray, God, do you want me to date somebody right now? Is it like, do you really want me to be in a relationship with somebody right now? Do you want me to be connected to somebody right now? Or should I be more focused on you right now? And if he does give you the green light, well, then now it needs to be, Lord, send the person that you want me to be with. Like, put us in the same atmosphere. Make the door happen, open. Because you realize when Adam and Eve got together, Adam never asked for Eve. He woke up one day and she was there. Can I let you know? I said this in the first service, because I forgot. But I'm going to say now. Do you know where he found his partner? In purpose. In the garden. The place of his purpose. Do you want to know where you'll find a person that God wants you to be with? In purpose. On purpose. So I need to be asking, God, would you show me who it is you want me to be with? Because I don't want to just be with anybody. I want to be with the right person. It starts with that. But then as we kind of get practical, I'm going to give us these two practical thoughts, streams of thought when it comes to pursuing. What are some things that you need to look for? Number one, you need to look for character, and you need to look for compatibility. What do I mean by character? This has to do with the essence of who they are. It has to do with the essence of their makeup. Their character, meaning their, not just their personality, but what are their traits? What kind of actions flow out of their life? Are they a person of integrity? Let me say it like this. Does their character remind you of Jesus? And if we need a picture of that, here's what Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23 says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you are thinking about the person that you are dating or thinking about the person to date, do they remind you of this? Are they loving? I don't really know, Pastor. Are they patient? Oh, they flip off all the time. Do they have self-control? They struggle with that. I need to begin to look at their character. Character assessment. That's why, like, oftentimes when you apply for a new job, they have things called character references. Because it's not just what you do that's important. I want to know who you are. Can I trust you? What's your character look like? So let me say it like this. Number one, if you're dating somebody who's interested, if you're dating or you're interested in somebody, and they're not in a growing relationship with Jesus, we already headed down the wrong path. So let me give you some questions to ask. You can ask them boldly. Maybe you ask it to yourself. Some of y'all, real gangster, you're going to ask them today. I was in church, and my pastor said this, and I'm asking you. You're going to text them right now and be like, hey, let's go meet up for lunch. And they think, oh, cool, because they're at home right now. How's the relationship with God? And you ask them this question, and they say something like, oh yeah, I go to church. Not the same thing. That's like asking, are they physically healthy? And they say, yeah, I go to the gym. What does that mean? What do you do when you're at the gym? Do you just watch the TV? Do you do any physical activity? You just talk the whole time. What do you do? Because we're asking deeper questions. Here's another question. Are they a part of a local church? Are they a part of a biblical community? Do they follow some type of leadership? Do they have people who can actually vouch for their character? Are they focused on doing God's will? Do they aim to live a life that honors God? Do they take care of their responsibilities? Are they responsible? Where is their life headed? Y'all see these different questions right here. Culture says, you know, how do they look? Do they have all the tangible things? And not to say that those things aren't important, we'll get to that. But it's the intangibles that we're looking at right now. How do they treat people? How do they treat their family? If they have children, they're a single parent. How do they treat their kids? Because if you got kids, and they got kids, they treat their kids anyway. How you think they're going to treat yours? Come on. These are things we got to think about. Because the number one priority in dating isn't do they love me, but do they love God? We got to answer that question. And if you got a question mark on that, that's a cause to pause. If you got a question mark on, if you're doing this, they may not be the one. But Pastor, they're good. They might be good, but it's not good for you. Because your standard is different. Yesterday's price isn't today's price. Your values is up. The number one priority in dating isn't are they a good person, but are they a godly person? Because that's the thing that we like to say now. Are they a good person? I don't care about that. Are they a godly person? Because they have good morals but don't know God. Are they a godly person? Do they look good? Can't be the main question. Do they look like Christ? that's what it's about. But as we talk about that, it's not just about character, but now here we go with compatibility. Because now we're talking about values. And the Bible talks about not being unequally yoked. It has to do with the direction that lives are moving in. Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says. It says, do not be yoked together with those who do not believe. A yoke was a device that would connect two animals together for the purpose of plowing. And you would not yoke certain types of animals together, because if you yoke certain types of animals together, you would not be able to be successful in plowing and moving things forward. And what Paul is saying is do not be yoked up. In this context, he's talking about with unbelievers in intimate relationships. Do not be tied and tethered, especially in marriage, and especially obviously in dating. He says, don't be tied together with somebody who don't care anything about Jesus, but you do. Because it'll cause a lot of pain, a lot of frustration. But the principle that I really want us to see here is, Paul isn't just talking, this principle isn't just for spiritual purposes. We're talking about a belief system. And the principle is, do we share the same belief system about things? So number one, do we share the same spiritual perspectives? I mean, we see eye to eye on everything, but it's the foundation there. Do you love Jesus? Do they love Jesus? If you really love Jesus and they don't love Jesus, that's a problem. Because now we're not spiritually compatible. But now, financially, are we compatible? Do they have a job? Do you have a job? I get situations happen, you had a job, you lose your job. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being comfortable, not being responsible. Because if they are always in between jobs, that's going to be a problem in marriage. I'm not saying God's grace ain't sufficient. What I'm saying is that there's going to be some headaches that you and I will have to walk through that we don't have to walk through. So I got to look at it. Are we financially compatible? Are we emotionally compatible? Are they vulnerable? Are they transparent? You open up your heart, pouring out your heart all the time, but they don't say nothing. They're secretive about everything. I recently found out about this TikTok video that's been going, series of videos that's been going crazy, and it was on a Today Show. It was noted up there. It's about this young lady who made these series of videos that were kind of connected to this idea of, who did I marry? Because she was talking about her marriage, and now she's divorced, and she says, the person I was married to, I was deceived. I thought I was marrying one person, but then I discovered they were something completely different. And she said, I ignored some of the signs that were apparent in dating, and then moved into marriage. I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. So are we emotionally compatible? And let's just be honest. Are they physically compatible with you? Are you attracted to them? Because sometimes in the body of Christ in the church, we say, oh, only character matters. Well, that's true. It starts there. But if you're talking about marrying this person and spending the rest of your life with this person, I mean, you're going to wake up to this person every single day. You're going to see all kinds of things about this person. Are they pleasing to the eye for you? Or are they hard on the eye? You got to be honest with that. Come on. I believe they can look good and be godly at the same time. Why do we got to pick and choose? It's like, oh, the minute they're godly, that means they're not gonna be good. They ain't gonna look good at all. But are y'all compatible? You like how they look. You like how they dress. Can I help some of us in here? Some of us are living in the season where we're waiting for God to bring somebody out and we're trying to actively pursue somebody. That might mean you might need to give some attention to hygiene. Pastor, holiness should master, should matter. Absolutely. And so should hygiene too. But pastor, they should only care about my character. Man looks at the outward appearance. Do they look good to you? Are they are you attracted to them? It's not a sin to be attracted to them. If you look in the book of Song of Solomon, it's a whole book of Solomon that's talking about his soon-to-be wife and they got married, and he's describing her physical appearance in a godly way. He's highlighting her godly character. If this was the marriage council, I would say something different in this moment. He's highlighting her godly character, and he's also highlighting her godly figure. They don't want to be real today. Do they look good? So there should be something attractive about that person that you pursuing. Notice I didn't put that first. That came later. Because the Bible says beauty is fleeting. One day might look good, the next day they may not. My wife and I, we're going to do a tag team teaching over these next few weeks, and we're going to do some Q&A stuff like that. But we'll be honest, like we've been married for almost 13 years, husband and wife, so we see each other all the time. We see each other when all the makeup is on, and we see each other when hair is not done. But even when hair's not done, she still looks good to me. Come on. But see, what culture has caused us to think is that, like you're just supposed to go to bed looking perfect. And I'll talk more about that next week. But there should be some level of attractiveness. Are we physically compatible? That there. So we got to be honest about that. But as we're looking at that, here's what this also means. As compatibility is important, it means that I got to look at the character, I got to look at the compatibility, but I got to also recognize that just because somebody is available to me doesn't mean that we're compatible. Just because they're single and you're single don't mean y'all should hook up. Not one bit. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. It just might not be for y'all. And I wonder how many times we end up being with people that's supposed to be with somebody else. You know what I wonder sometimes? I wonder if some of the relationships that end up getting dissolved is because we were with the wrong person from the beginning. We were dating somebody else's wife. We were dating somebody else's husband. We just won't marry yet. And you know why we missed that? Because we bypassed the first thing, pursuing Jesus. And Jesus is like, if you would have came to me, I would have told you. I was telling you. But you were so caught up in a little bubble. They brought you all the roses. They sent you all the text messages. And you were infatuated. And you called it love, but it was really lust. And I'm trying to save us a heartbreak, some hangups, and some headaches. So when it comes to dating, I need to get to know this person. Not these people. This person. Not dating multiple people at the same time, but this one person. Which means I'm not dating one person and then I'm sliding to somebody else's DMs. It means that I'm not like dating one person and I'm running game on somebody else. Because trust and believe, you will be found out at some point. And when you found out, it ain't gonna be pretty. So as I'm dating somebody, I'm getting to know somebody. But here's what I need us to get this part right here. That when we're pursuing somebody, we need to pay attention to the signs. Because there are some good signs. There's some great things that might be present. But then we don't have a problem with those things. But where we are stumbling is with the bad signs. It's what I like to call the red flags of the relationship. Those signs that are concerns that should cause us to pause. When you look at a red light, it does not mean go through it. It means stop. Now I know for some of us who drive, your driving skills are a little bit different. When you see a red sign, that's a suggestion. But that's how you put yourself in position to experience a car wreck, an accident, or a fatality. And there's some things and some pain that we end up experiencing simply because we did not have the patience and did not have the ability to stop when we saw the red flag and instead ran through it like it was a green light. So when it comes to these relationships, can I say it like this? Don't ignore the red flags. There are red flags in dating that do not need to be ignored. And there's a good chance that every relationship is going to have a red flag of some nature. Why? Because there are two imperfect people trying to walk down a path of purpose. There's going to be something that comes up that we need to address. So can you bring me red flags? So this is what happens a lot of times, right? So we'll see these red flags. They're verbally abusive, emotionally abusive, and God is like. But they were like, oh, but they were just having a bad day. Bad days don't lead to black eyes. Bad days don't mean they cuss you out of your name and call you everything else but a child of God. Oh, they just don't like to talk. They're really shy. If they don't ever open up, you don't ever know what's going on. That's a red flag. They treat their family terrible. How you think they're gonna treat you when they call you family? And a lot of times what happens is we got these red flags and God is waving them. He's trying to get, hey, don't ignore this. Red flags are not meant to be ignored. They are meant to be investigated. We need to talk about this. You start asking real questions about their relationship with God. You start asking real questions. Hey, do you want to have a family? And they're like, no. That's a red flag. Because if you do and they don't, we need to talk about that. Are we moving forward or are we not? If they want to move to a whole other country and you want to stay where you are, well, that's a red flag. Red flag means stop. Don't keep going until we deal with this. Because here's what I need you to understand. You're going to deal with it one way or the other. And it's much easier to deal with it on the front end than to deal with it on the back end. And a lot of times, here's what's happening. God has been doing this for so long. Come on, I can talk personally. There's been times, different seasons in my life before Ariel and I got together, and there was red flags and people that I was interested in college, and God was waving these red flags. It's like, yo, bro, she is not good. No, don't, no. There was other times where it was some small red flags, and there was other times where it was massive red flags. But when we're so bent on doing what we want to do, we run through it. And we end up ruining our life and ruining other people's lives in the process. Can I ask you a question? For some of you who are dating some people right now, do you see some red flags? Because for some of us, there's been red flags for a long time. As I mentioned earlier, y'all been dating for years. And every time you talk about marriage, you're uncomfortable. Red flag. They're trying to get you to compromise your integrity. They're secretive. They're manipulative. They're controlling. They tell you who you can be friends with and who you can't. They pull you away. Why you always go to church every Sunday? Why you always in the bed every Sunday? Red flags. Hold on, CJ, I ain't done yet. Red flags. What flags? Because I want you to write this down. What's not corrected today will be costly later. If you don't correct it now, it's going to cost you later. Can I also help you understand something? You don't marry people's potential. You marry them for who they are now. Can you be okay with the person you're dating and you're talking about marrying them? Can you be okay with the version that they are right now and they never change? For some of you, you just got clarity from God right there. Because you've been trying to, hey, I think you should do this. Hey, I think you should address this. Hey, this is a problem. And they never want to address it. Do you think that's going to change overnight when you get married? And if you're not cool with it, for some of us, this is the year of release. For some of you, you've been praying, God, can you show me what to do with this relationship? And God's been trying to tell you, you need to break up with them. Ah, but God, give me another sign. And now you're here today. Break up with them. Because it's a red flag. Maybe for some of you, it's not break up with them. Maybe it's like, no, we need to pause. Because we got some different values. Your life is moving in one direction. My life is moving in this direction. We're not saying, I, that's cool. No shade to you. But God has something on my life that I don't want to miss. Because yesterday's price is not today's price. But here's the third thing. I'm going to go through this as quick as I can. When it comes to dating, and this is the area that many relationships struggle with when it comes to dating. And I can say that because in dating, this was things that came up as well, and I'm sure many of us could agree with it. Dating with godly purity. Honoring God with our bodies while we're dating. Let me just say it plainly. If you're single, you're not married. You cannot do married things in a single season. I don't got time to get into all my other notes right there. That's the skinny version. Sex and sexual intimacy is a beautiful gift that God has uses and has created to consummate a husband and wife in marriage. It is for marriage. It is a beautiful gift. It is sex. Sex is a sacred gift for the sacred union of marriage. It's a beautiful gift. But sex is also like a fire. When it's in the right environment, it can warm the house. If it gets out of its confined area, it'll burn it down. And what culture says, if you really liking them, get your body to them. That's the way you show them you love them. Culture says, you know, if you feel it, do it. That's not what scripture teaches. And when we follow what culture says, we end up getting what culture has. And in dating, one of the most critical elements in honoring God is honoring God with our bodies. There's nothing wrong with you being attracted to that person. As I mentioned earlier, when you're physically compatible, you're going to be attracted to them. There's nothing wrong with that. It's what you do with it now. Because even though I'm attracted to them, the temptation from the enemy is going to be to engage in some activity in this season that's really reserved for the next season. It's to adopt something for one season that's meant to be for another season. So when God gives this gift of sex, whenever God gives a gift, he always gives guidelines. He always gives boundaries. And I want you to know that boundaries are for our protection, not just our restriction. If I tell my kids, don't run in the street, that's a protection type of clause and command. I'm not doing this because I'm trying to keep you from having fun. I'm doing it because I'm trying to preserve life. So when God says, this gift of intimacy is for marriage, he's not saying this because, oh, he's trying to spoil my fun and, oh, he's not cool. No, he's loving. And as a good parent, he says, this is the purpose for this, and I want you to use it at the appropriate time. And any type of sexual activity that happens outside of marriage is what the Bible calls sexual immorality. It's the Greek word porneia, where we get the English word pornography. And what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, he says, "For this is God's will, your sanctification, that you keep away from sexual immorality, that each of you knows how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not with lustful passions like the Gentiles who don't know God." Notice what he says again. Don't act like you don't know God. You know God now. Do it differently. And this is why relationships and dating especially often fall apart or don't function right, because we're practicing something in one season that's really reserved to another season. Let me say it like this. There is no such thing as practicing safe sex from a biblical standpoint other than not having sex outside of marriage. I know what culture says, but I know what God says. God says, don't touch it right now. It's a good gift, but it ain't for now. Culture says, take this, so that when you do this, you'll be okay. God says, avoid it altogether. That's why the Bible says, flee. You know the word? Run. So when they looking real good to you, you start sweating. Come on. And when your heart start, get out of there. Get out. Run. Flee. That's what the word flee means. It means run. Don't try to negotiate it. You know, I just stay over a little bit longer. You know, it's not that. Let's just finish watching this movie. Nope. Get out. And if the person's trying to figure out, man, why did you leave so fast? I had to. Because you was looking real good. You was looking too good. And I love God more than I love you. And I don't want to sin against God, and I don't want to sin against you. I want to honor God. So godly purity means I'm avoiding anything and everything that can cause me to fall. And one of the things that studies have even shown, and this, I know for some of us, we're in different seasons, and maybe we come from different perspectives, and this is why maybe here today we're getting help. But one of the things that we see that's happening in culture that's very prevalent is this whole aspect of cohabitation. And there's statistics and studies that show that couples that cohabitate prior to getting married, there's a 50 to 80% chance, likelihood of divorcing than for married couples who never. Now, I know for some of us, that kind of might convict us a little bit, because I don't know where you are on your journey. But I'm not saying that to shame you. I'm not saying that to cause condemnation. I'm helping you to see that God's way is better. And that until we come together in marriage, we don't need to be sharing nothing. We don't need to be sharing bodies. Come on. This is grown folk church today, y'all. We don't need to be sharing bodies. We don't need to be sharing bank accounts. We don't need to be sharing residences, because God has not joined the two of you together yet. I get it. It's hard. I get it. It's not what culture says. I get temptations, Lauren. I get it from a financial standpoint. Some of us, it's like, but it's cheaper for us to do it. Yes, it might be cheaper, but it will cost you more on the back end. So we could do it the culture's way, or we could do it the King's way. Culture's way leads to heartbreak, hang-ups, and headaches. The King's way leads to life, and life more abundantly. And I'm going to close with this thought, because Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. He says, flee sexual immorality, every other sin in a person commits outside of the body. But the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Your body does not belong to you. Your life does not belong to you. You belong to God. And watch verse 20. He says this, for you were bought at a price, a high price. It cost Jesus his life. And he says, now that I've stepped in your life, yesterday's price is not today's price. How you did it yesterday can't be how you do it today, because you're worth too much. And practicing purity means saying no to what feels good and saying yes to God who is good. That's what it's about. And I hear some of us saying, but Pastor, I've already crossed this line. We ain't know none of this until today. And what do we do now? Number one is this. Confess that to God. God, I'm sorry for what I have done, what we have done, what we are doing right now. Because here's what the Bible says. When we come to him, he extends forgiveness and grace to us. His grace is sufficient. His forgiveness is sufficient. But along with stopping whatever I'm doing, and that's the word for some of us today. You're having sex with your girlfriend, your boyfriend. You need to stop, like today, like now. For some of us, you're living in a space right now with somebody who's not your spouse. Move out. Pastor, do you know what that's going to cost me? I do, but I also know what it's going to cost you to stay. God's way is so much better. Then I might need to put some boundaries in place. You might need to give some curfews. One of the things that Ariel and I did as we were dating, we wanted to really honor God with our dating. We started really putting boundaries in our relationship in hard ways. We say, hey, we are not going to be at any person's residence past a certain hour. You might have to do that. Because at the end of the day, it's about honoring God and doing it his way. We date the world's way. It's less than who God created us to be. Your value is too high. You were bought at a price. I want you to write this down, and I want to invite us all to stand to our feet in this moment. I know we've gone significantly over time today. God bless our kids' ministry. And our kids' team, they're going to kill me. Y'all show them some extra love today. But I also believe that God is going to work in our hearts today. You have too much worth. You have too much value to settle for less. I want you to understand this. In Christ, you are worth too much to settle for less. Your value is worth so much. You can't just give your body away to anybody. No. You don't say yes to this anybody. No. God has loved you with an everlasting love. You're the apple of his eye. You're his son. You're his daughter. And he always wants what's best for you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, some of you are here today and you're like, Pastor Edwin, man, I've crossed the line so many times. I got sexual sin in my life. My significant other and I, we've crossed the line. We've done some things that we're not proud of. It's convicting to hear it. I want you to know you start fresh today, though. Jesus is home to bring forth new beginnings. I want you to know whatever it is that you're entangled in, Jesus can get you free of. You don't have to stay where you are. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for my brothers and sisters today who find themselves in different places. I know that this message, Father, has landed on our hearts differently. But I pray for healing to take place. Lord, help us to date on purpose, with a purpose. Help us to do things your way. Because your way is the best way. Your way leads to life, and life more abundantly. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, some of you are here today and you're like, Pastor, I need a new beginning. Pastor, I've tried to get new beginnings. I thought by having intimacy with other people, it would bring fulfillment, but it's left me feeling empty. And some of you are on that path, and some of you are just filled with so much shame and regret and things that have happened. Can I let you know that in Jesus Christ, you can experience freedom. You can experience renewal. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I want a renewal. I want a refreshing. I want a new life. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if this is you on the count of three, I just want you to shoot up your hand. If you want a new beginning, and it can only happen with Jesus today, it's not going to happen by anything else. It's only going to happen through Jesus. You're here today. On the count of three, shoot up your hand if you're ready for that. One, two, three. If this is you, you want a new beginning with Jesus. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. If you're here, amen. Amen. I see you. I see you. If this is your day and you want a new beginning, you want to come to Christ in relationship with him, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. I receive your love. I receive your grace. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. In your name, Jesus, I pray.